With me is Kevin Gotham, Assistant Dean of Academic Affairs in the School of Liberal Arts at Tulane University, and a sociologist who studies post-disaster recovery and rebuilding, and also Aaron Viles, who's the Deputy Director of the Gulf Restoration Network. After interviewing about 15 to 20 people involved in the coastal restoration process and program, from scientists and engineers to public officials leading agencies, one of the surprising findings was that the consensus among them was the people living inside these levees, who live in the most threatened spot in North America to sea level rise, subsidence, and coastal land loss, don't seem to be fully engaged or aware of just how precarious their situation is. So my question to Kevin is this common?
Yes, this is very common. And the answer to the reason why it's pretty common is what I would call, it's not a kitchen table issue. Basically, their priority is bills. Okay, bills for the home, healthcare, education, and so on. And for many people, climate change, coastal erosion, and the other interconnected issues don't strike them as a central issue that impacts their kitchen table discussions every night.
One of the common remarks about New Orleanians is that, well, they're too worried about Mardi Gras, the next party, the Saints season, crawfish season. It's the city that care for God, les ailes, les pontons roulés. But that really isn't. This is fairly common reaction in any society in the United States. Mm-hmm. Any community, if they're faced with a problem, unless it's hitting them, unless the water is coming into their house, you're saying that unless it's touching them physically, they're not really worried about it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good interpretation. And this really deals with almost all environmental problems. Unless it's impacting them in a very direct way, in a very acute way, in a very intense way, they're probably not going to react to it. Probably going to see, yeah, that's a problem that exists out there, but I have more pressing concerns right now. And we all have to prioritize every day, and most people do not see climate change and coastal erosion and subsidence as a major and intense social problem that impacts them on an everyday basis.
Now, you've watched the state with its programs, America's Wetland. You've read the stories in the various media outlets, from the newspapers to TV and radio. So this subject and this problem has gotten lots of media attention. How would you change that to make it more real, if you could, to get to that evening discussion with bills?
To get it to become a kitchen table issue, it has to be a political issue. That our elected leaders must see climate change mitigation and coastal erosion mitigation and issues of flood control and storms as central to everyday life here. So it has to be at the forefront and a major agenda for elected political leaders. The other thing, it has to be at the grassroots level. People have to work through the nonprofit organizations, and nonprofits have to be really involved and constantly bringing home to people that we really are in peril if we don't engage in meaningful public discussions and meaningful public policy changes at both the federal, state, and local levels to stop the problem now rather than, you know, letting it become more intense over time.
Well, you mentioned non-governmental agencies, nonprofits. Aaron Viles, you're involved in one of the best, most visible environmental groups here, Gulf Restoration Network. Your title addresses this issue. Talk to me about what you think has been the response in this community since you've been here trying to get people involved in your organization.
Well, I think the public awareness is only growing over time. What we know now is that, you know, I think post-Katrina, people saw in a very kind of real and tangible way what it means to be vulnerable, what it means not to have effective flood protection out there, and that idea that our wetlands are our horizontal levees kind of really hit home with folks. But, you know, then people go back to their bills. They go back to life, and life is hard as it is. So why would you want to, you know, willfully get engaged with some process that seems so cumbersome, that seems so, you know, the payoff is so far down the road? So I absolutely understand the points that are being raised here. What we're doing this summer, a total throwback, we're actually going door to door. We're knocking on people's doors to say, hey, look, this is urgent. with these BP Clean Water Act restoration funds. It's a once-in-a-generation opportunity to put us on a track towards resiliency, so we want to maximize that opportunity and really do get that issue at the kitchen table, get people behind our efforts, but not even just our efforts. We just prefer folks to get engaged, know that the CPRA is an entity that needs to hear from the public, the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority. This stuff shouldn't be decided just among the experts and the bureaucrats, because it has these kind of real-world impacts on these coastal communities, so they need to have a seat at the table, and we need to let them know where the meeting is, because, you know, if they're not, you know, at the table, they're on the menu, right? And I think that's something that's really critical for the public to understand.
Well, the question we get a lot, and I'm sure you have as well, since we're addressing public involvement as a key part of addressing successfully this problem facing the area, what can people do? How do people get involved?
There's a whole variety of ways you can do it. I mean, we've got a whole list of, you know, state, federal, local entities that have some role to play in deciding how we're going to move forward with coastal restoration, or if we are. So I think, you know, start at the local level. Ask your city council member the next time you're out and about, what are they doing on this, and, you know, why aren't they doing more? They've got a bully pulpit at the city level. They can certainly get this issue brought up. They can ask the core tough questions about what's going on with the Mississippi River Gulf Ecosystem Restoration Plan. You know, these types of things that have kind of stalled out because there hasn't been enough, I think, pressure and engagement. We can kind of amp that up just by getting folks to take it to their decision makers. Why is Steve Scalise being let off the hook on climate change action? He's good on coastal restoration, but he seems to have a disconnect there. That's because we let him have a disconnect. You got to ask him next time you see him, what are you doing on climate change to mitigate the risk that we're facing? You know, I mean, on and on and on. I think every place you interact with a decision maker, bring this issue up if it's something you care about.
So you're saying look in the mirror. First, start with your councilman. And let me ask you this, since you brought up the council and the city, I don't hear this issue at council meetings. I don't hear the mayor talk about it. I don't hear council members talk about it.
Right.
I don't hear the governor talk about it. But locally, are they involved enough?
I don't think they are. And I think what they'll point to is like, well, we don't really have a role, but they do have a role because they are an elected leader. They can ask tough questions of the core. They can ask tough questions of our, you know, federal and state level lawmakers. They've got great lobbyists working for the city of New Orleans in Baton Rouge. How come they're not tackling climate change up there? There's lots of things that we could be doing if there was a kind of groundswell urging them to do it.
Is there a place where the average person listening can find out a list of organizations to join? We mentioned the Gulf Restoration Network. Would you mind telling us some of those other groups?
I mean, there are fantastic groups. We work well in coalition with a whole set of groups. The Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority is the state-level entity, and actually they've got a decent list of folks who are engaged with the process.
So go to their website. Okay.
But then you can, you know, locally, the Lake Pontchartrain Basin Foundation has been doing great work for decades. The Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana has been a leader on this issue, who made this an issue, really, for the state of Louisiana. The Sierra Club is a kind of volunteer-led entity here in the city of New Orleans and at the state level. They're always looking for folks to get engaged and help them, you know, be thoughtfully and usefully at the table and stuff like that.
And one of our pieces, after a lengthy interview with Garrett Graves, who is the head of the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, I asked him, just how long does the state have to address this issue? What is the window of opportunity? He said, if we're not making progress in 5 to 8 years, 5 to 8 years, the window will have closed on many communities in southeastern Louisiana. Do you agree with that?
I think that's absolutely right.
Aaron Viles and Kevin Gotham from Tulane University, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.